This call is being recorded.
I was told by a superseer within the last couple of weeks, it was just a session to find out a couple of things that I want to build. And before we could even start our session, she said, "You are going to be doing a lot of teaching this year." And I thought that could come in any number of forms and could look like a lot of different things, especially because I'm embarking on building an online, I don't know how many of you, if anybody, has seen the software that I created about 8-9 years ago called Alex. It still works, still a beautiful piece of software, and it's very powerful. And at that time, I wanted to build an online version of it, meaning one that you could just go to with a web browser and just open up and use it as a web application. But the technology didn't exist at the time to do it the way it needed to be done, and now it does, and it thrust itself heavily back into my sphere to create it. And so I've got two goals this year: to finish my novel and to get that up and running. It's going to be really powerful, and I'm talking really powerful, and I think that there's probably going to be some crossover effect between the use of that software and also what we once again can sort of discover along the lines of mastery. And it's going to be called Imagi, imagi.love. And I'm going to be, and believe it or not, .love is now a domain extension that works just like a .com or a .net or a .org. And that's how we're going to brand it. And it's going to go really, really big eventually. And I wondered if what she was referring to was that, because the one thing about me is that I can't just, you know, I'm not the type of person that can just prepare some presentation and then give it, because no matter what, I always feel like that it's pretentious of me to think that I could teach this group anything at all. But I realize that I've got some perspectives that help and all that sort of thing. And so the best way for me to do anything is just to get a dialogue going, because my understanding is way the heck out there, and so, you know, it works better if this can just be done as a Q&A, really, because understanding is kind of where it's at, especially intellectual understanding. And so we're going to try a couple of things together here in a little bit, but I just wonder if we wanted to talk for a little while first with any Q&A. And I think that I could probably sort of set it off with this idea. And I said this at the last mastery call, that for me, the final freedom, the very last, I should say, the final barrier standing between myself and my freedom, my complete freedom, was a lingering sense of there being a difference between right and wrong, and the dark and the light, and that I myself, you know, could only envision myself as being of the light and a good person and things like that. And that stuff absolutely had to be let go, to the extent that that I operate on a mental stratum where there is exactly absolutely no difference between the two concepts, and that it is that the entire world, that any reality you care to choose, is just role playing, and there isn't anybody who's not carrying out their roles. And even when I thought that I was beyond the, you know, the polarity and the ideation of right and wrong, I wasn't. It was still in me someplace. And I don't know what was holding it. It was probably what the kahuna called the unipihili, which is just another definition and an entity in the full scope of the subconscious mind. And some people could call that the inner child. It's an important psychological gestalt and construct to understand, because the hunas, the Polynesian hunas, are keepers of one of the most intact ancient magical systems on the planet. And their system is, for all intents and purposes, indistinguishable from the systems that were taught in Qumran in Israel during the time of Jesus's training. The differences are semantic. And so understanding that psychology is sort of understanding what it is to master self, because those guys, hunas, they would probably tell you that they could not have become what they are without having completely cleared that childlike entity that is called the Unipihili. And naturally, there are shaman, for instance, all over the world who are very capable, and they would still, in fact, maintain some belief about themselves as being in the right, and that other people are wrong. And as that was leaving my system of being within about the last, I'm going to say 6 months, I was learning at the same time about so many different kinds of things. As an example, I really began to understand why the Merlins of the world, the wizards at that time, why they were pictured as practitioners of dark arts, as an example, because they weren't, you know, naturally, of course, they were being branded by religions, and so was alchemy, of course, but they were simply neutral. And the light has a tendency to look at anything that is not light as dark. And so, you know, it was sort of the advent of the white powder gold, by the way, that accelerated a ton of this, because it was one of the things that was increasing my awareness of almost like having an overlay of the wizard, the great wizard, just on top of me and around me, and I kind of understood that I was being taken to another level of my own wizardry, if you will, and that the most important element of that graduation to another level was my consciousness being expanded enough, sufficiently to be on that mental stratum where the very same entity is both light and dark, and or good and evil or whatever, and within the body of that entity everything is for all intents and purposes, just pieces on a game board. And that might sound a little more crass than I mean it to be, but it happens to be true because we ourselves set up all the pageants and plays and games and so on and so forth, and then we get bodies to play them. And so that's a really important thing, and meaning that any ideation of good and evil as being anything other than something to do with the 3D passion play, you're either going to want to be free of, or you're not going to want to adhere to the thought where you know of the small group of people that we're going to take to a very high level, as I have pointed out. And so if you have any questions about that, let's do it. Let's ask. It's kind of what we need to do is help people beyond that, because that, by the way, is the most liberating thing I have ever experienced. And that includes my enlightenment. Enlightenment was not as liberating for me as was the final exit of any ideation of good and evil. So
I have a thought on that.
Okay.
Well, just is that similar to not just the right and wrong, but just judgment in general?
Well, certainly the dark sort of lives on judgment. So, you know, that's an MO, if you will, for the dark side of what is truly an equation. And if the light judges, then the light is saying, I am right and you are wrong.
Yep.
So yeah, it's certainly hand in glove with judgment, even though, for instance, somebody could desire to maintain a fairly mainstream or rigid sense of what right and wrong is and not judge anybody,
Sure.
So they're not, dead on mutually inclusive concepts by any means, but certainly getting free of judgment, I know for a fact, helps a ton in moving towards the final dissolution of the whole right and wrong thing, and therefore that polarity in one system of being.
Right.
And so it's one of those kinds of things. It's where, most reasonable people, even awake or semi-awake or whatever, who might hear, me say these things and just go, you are a freaking idiot and I don't want to hear anything you have said, because the light is so addicted to itself and bringing light to the world and so on and so forth. And yet there's a balance that always has to be maintained. I don't want to, as an example, voice my philosophical concepts on this, or the fact that it was my personal final freedom, if you will, because it really was. And but I will say that there's no question in my mind whatsoever that if as an example, and I'm not sure anybody's even going to bother getting to this point. If, as an example, you want to be able to move from one place to another, via the quantum level, disappear from one spot, reappear in another spot, that you're not going to be able to do it without being free of that polarity. And I honestly don't know that it wouldn't surprise me, and it never would, because I see some truly miraculous things on an almost constant basis. But if somebody of our group says, hey, I levitated, I would just say, hey, that's really cool. I'm glad to hear it. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't surprise me. But I don't know that that's where things are going. I don't know. I think as that this group is just going to get to a really high level of operation in this world of just, you know, plain pure happiness. But as an example, the way that things have gone with me is that, you know, where you might think that if I was out hiking the other day and I had my body parts hurt. And I was just, I kind of forget what I'm capable of doing. And so I had this pain in my heel, and I just was, you know, I almost just inadvertently thought, I kind of wish that pain wasn't there. And within a minute, it was gone. And I thought, oh yeah, that's right, I can do that. And so I said, well, how about that pain in my shoulder? Why don't we do that one now? And it all just sort of dissolved. And it did that simply because I wasn't even in a mental framework where I could think about doubt or whatever. I was just, hey, yeah, let's just go ahead and do it. And so just the way that the level on which I operate is the level that I'm supposed to take however big the group of people is that we're gonna do this. And that actually is a very powerful way of being, and it does involve some superhuman arts and those kinds of things, and which could be, you know, carried over into, you know, application of your own life and somebody who asks you for help and so on and so forth. So like I say, if you still have if you want to stay as someone who wants to think that there is that it's important to live with the idea of right and wrong, then you kind of really don't want to hang with this because it will seep into your system and take it away. But if you do want to, then it's time to start understanding, you know, yourself on a level of what has to be done to move it out. And, you know, in this call right this second, we can just say, well, one of the first steps, even though it could take months or longer to have those polarities dissolved within, we just do it right now. You know, just think to yourself, yes, I would like that. And it's going to start simply because we're in on this group doing it. There are beings here with us right now that are ready, you know, at the ready for anything that we ask them to do and so on and so forth. So let's talk about it if we have to. Anybody have any comments or questions on anything we've covered to this point?
Well, I'd like to maybe offer a perspective. I don't know if this is exactly where you're going with this or if this makes it easier, but if you can hold the thought that, for instance, you can say, I'm a human being, and if you can also hold the thought that maybe I'm extraterrestrial. If you hold them both at the same time, not giving one more credence than the other, so that you're in a place of neutrality as you consider those two different perspectives and hold them in neutrality, it gives you like the third point of a triangle. And then you don't hold judgment that one is better than the other or one is more important than the other. But you hold two consecutive thoughts as being equal, if that makes sense.
Is this an exercise that you have done, or is this just something that you just sort of maintain in your thinking throughout a given day or something like that? Is it just an ongoing practice, or do you have?
It's just a way to, instead of holding judgment or looking at duality, like something is good, something's evil, something's black, something's white, I can see that something's black and something is white, and not give either one more credence than the other.
Right.
That I can hold both concepts in my mind at the same time and not judge one over the other.
That's, I like it. It's a good tool. On similar lines, I would say, for instance, to someone, you know, and I'm not teaching or preaching you right this second, just talking about an idea. If you say God is everything, and that happens to be absolutely true. God is everything. And therefore God is also evil, right? And that to me is an interesting device to have, because if, as an example, all too often, love and light are completely, you know, are interchangeable terms in a lot of people's thinking, right? And yet, love makes no distinction between the two sides or concepts. In fact, love is the one binding force. And you can, you know, one thing that would be, you know, very good for most people to know, acknowledge, or understand is that which is evil is also capable of fantastically deep and passionate love. And so is that kind of a little bit of what you're talking about?
Yeah, for what I could hear, you were kind of breaking up during your wonderful speech, unfortunately. But yeah, it's you were talking about the what people perceive God to be. Well, God is everything. And if it's everything, then it's also what we perceive of as good or evil, because it's everything. It's source. It's all that is. So you have to be able to hold both perspectives at the same time and accept those without judgment. Yeah.
Mary, I just got a text from Mary. She's saying the sound quality is getting really funky. Is it? Let me go through my ABCs and just let me know. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. How's the quality? Must be awful since nobody answered.
It's better now.
If it gets bad, let me know, because I'll just bag this phone way of doing this and just get online. Do we have any comments or questions? Because this is a huge issue, and I think it's absolutely gigantic. One of the biggest of all, you know, for me, forever. And so it's something that's got to be addressed. Do we really have no questions about this?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm using my laptop, so I didn't know if it had a good speaker on it or not. This is Nancy. How I perceive and what I'm working on is, in a similar fashion, it's finding that balance, almost like the balance of the yin yang, and seeing things from a perspective, because we're in a duality, that both poles are necessary for that experience that we're witnessing, and at the same time having an impact on, depending upon how we're interfacing with it. And my goal is to try and find that balance, which then brings me to, some people refer to it as a zero point, where I can just observe it as the witness. and kind of go, oh, well, that was pretty cool. Or did I want it to work out a different way? And if I did, why? And try and just see if I was observing myself leaning too far to one side or the other, be it light or dark, judgment, or, you know, I'm right, you're wrong. Trying to move myself back then after witnessing that to be find more of that zero point, that center point of balance. And I'm finding I'm bringing experiences into my journey where it's causing me to take a hard look. I recently, and I'll share this really briefly, I have a cousin-in-law who I haven't been in touch with for a long time. And recently he contacted me on Facebook. When we were in college, and we'd go camping, he was a regular type of person. Well, now he's trying to convert me he's gotten very strict with his Bible and Catholicism and everything. So recently he contacted me and he's very worried about me and he's sending me things that he's concerned that I'm possessed. And I'm trying to, you know, sit back and just try and how do I just try to let him know that, you know, it's okay. You can believe what you want to believe and I can believe what I want to believe. That's what we're here for, to experience our beliefs, which in turn cause our realities. So I'm finding, in summary, that a lot of experiences coming my way are causing me to take that step back, to try and find the balance in dealing with the situation or the person, and coming to that zero point, that still point, where I can see that it's all good. It's all fine.
Right.
So I don't know if that aligns with what you were describing, Jason. But
Sure. But, yeah. you know, and it's, you know, of course it does. And since I imagine that it due in part to at least the white powder gold, that this is kind of why it's bringing things up in your own, you know, system of being, right? And bringing experiences your way that are being attracted simply because there is something in you as yet uncleared, if you will. And that could easily be, you know, because that whole right and wrong thing, that is so hard-coded in this reality that it is one of the most difficult ones to get over. And so I'm just, my only comment really is that it seems like you're attracting it simply because you have, you know, a nook and a cranny down in there to get a process. How do you look at it all? I mean, for me, you know, as an example, when it really started to settle in for me, I was starting, and it kind of continues in a lot of ways, to see more nobility, almost like more honesty. In a lot of ways, and even in some cases, integrity in the dark.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Right, because they're just being what they are.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
And so frequently they are just honestly being what they are and what it is and so on and so forth, whereas on the light side of the equation, there is a lot of dishonesty. And one of the things that set this off, by the way, I don't know if we have Deirdre on this call with us, but it's a member who works with a lot of people. She's a very gifted healer and very, very cool and awesome person, as is a lot of our group. And there was a woman who was seeking help to be free of dark entities, and her health was suffering because of it, and her mental state and those around her, and so on and so forth. And it was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but there was some poltergeist-like activity and things that she was dealing with.
She was having severe possession issues, like that movie, like some movie in the set, like being assaulted by something, and it had been with her for 12 years.
Right.
Long time. And she tried nearly every shaman in the book.
And right down to, you know, people that she come into contact with who would just say, no, sorry, I don't even go anywhere near stuff like that. And so she wrote me saying, is there anything we can do? And I said, well, maybe, but I've got to find something out first. And what I wanted to find out is whether or not she was in fact of the dark. And turns out she was. And the greatest difficulties that she was having with her life were because she was seeking help from the light. And so, you know, it was fairly straightforward. She just kind of needed to go find her own kind and get help from them. And once she did that, which also called upon her to be openly, you know, in self-admission that she is of the dark, when in fact she counted herself, you know, as a light chaser and said namaste every chance she got, and signed her emails with love and light, and that's what she wanted to be, when in fact that was exactly what was making her sick and making her life difficult. And so, you know, I'm not going to pretend for even a second how hard that would be, at least in her mental state, to be able to accept it and deal with it. But, you know, when I finally arrived at a state that basically just said, if I'm of the dark, then so be it. I'm good with it. But, you know, I don't think that's true, because I just simply don't operate that way, and I don't have to, you know, try to be something I'm not in order to operate the way that I do. But just the fact that if I had found that out and I could be good with it was a huge step for me. And that's, like I say, only in the last few months that really settled in the way that it did. Anyway, so we got back in touch with her and shared that information, and apparently it went over pretty good, almost like it was a relief for that woman, you know. And I thought it was fascinating, because they wound up talking about it, two of them, client and healer, and they got emotional about it together, and embraced, you know what I mean? And the woman said, thank you for everything. I'm going to go find my kind now. It's kind of like that. And I thought that was such an important thing to have it come, you know, fully home to roost in my own way of thinking and being, to understand what was going on there. So anyway, I thought that was a good tidbit. Any other commentary?
So Jason, this is Inga.
Hi, Inga.
Hi. And I've had a lot of physical issues, and, you know, I'm presumably working on clearing and doing the programs with you. And then again, this week I had another terrible fall, which just took everything out of me again.
You mean on the ice or something like that?
It was on a mat in a room, and, you know, presumably the mat has always been solid and there's never been an issue, and I just fell again and tore the ligaments in another knee. And so is it what you were saying, that there's just something in me that, even though I'm trying all these things thinking that I'm of the light, that's not where I'm at?
It doesn't feel like that to me. You know, the one thing that would be very difficult, in fact, is a happenstance, would be for that side to even find us. You know what I mean? And so in the long and short being that I, if you were of the dark, I don't think you could find us. You could have even found us to begin with. Because it's just kind of not how it works.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But if you found out one way or another that you were, how would it affect you?
Well, I think I'd be like that woman. I'd be happy to know which direction I should be going.
Gotcha. Right. Well, it's worth a look. I mean, if you'd like us to look into it, we can find out.
Yeah, because I don't understand why I keep having these really traumatic crashes in my life.
Right. Yeah, I don't either. It has been rough on you. But I'll look into it.
Okay, thank you.
See what I can find out. I'm pretty sure I already know just by feeling, but because, you know, right when I was asked about that woman, I had a feeling it was why I was, you know, I didn't just jump and say, of course I'll help her, you know, on her, I just couldn't say it. I said, no, I've got to find out something first. And it was a feeling, and I'm good with those feelings. Well, if anybody else, any other questions, comments, because we can go through a little exercise here. And
hi, I'd like to say a little bit. Okay. Are you able to hear me okay?
No.
Pretty spotty.
Okay, yeah. Even for me, it's really bad.
Hey, you could, if you see the little chat box, you can also type it out.
Oh, is it a little better now?
Yeah.
Seems to be.
Oh, okay.
It might actually take getting the mic right up to your mouth.
I had it turned full blast so that I could hear you guys, but if I turn it down, maybe it's better.
Oh, okay.
Was that okay?
Yeah, you're sounding mm-hmm. pretty good now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is my first call. I just found out about you guys last week or a week. Time flies by too fast, but I've been taking some classes with a fabulous woman called Dr. Sue Mortar. Mm-hmm. And I'm up in Canada, but I was able to get down to LA for her a training and a book launch celebration kind of thing. And it's really cool because she's been teaching and coming out with this book that is how to get embodied in your body, to get to the place, what you guys were talking about earlier, like to be in that neutral zone where you're not judging good and evil, because good and evil are, they both have to be here to anchor us to this experience. And when we get to the point where we are no longer judging, we have that freedom and that peace, and can bring more light to the world. Anyways, it's just very interesting. I was walking out of the hotel and I had to stop and talk to this woman who I was drawn to. She had a couple of minutes, and anyways, dropped a hint about you guys, and that's how I found out about you guys. But I just wanted to let you know that Dr. Sue is doing lots of fabulous work there, and lots more people are getting on board. So you'll be able to feel big shifts around the world very soon.
Cool. Is this Barbara?
Yes.
Welcome. I'm glad you made it into the call. Maybe, you know, if I don't know how much time you've had to click around the site and get to know it, navigation and all that, but under social, you'll see discussions, and maybe you can just type up a quick new discussion forum, create one. It's easy to do. You can see how to do it, and just talk about what you just talked about and give a link to this woman's work.
I would love to do that. Just thought I'd share that with you, that she's touching lots of people right now.
Cool.
And
that's good.
And yes, I saw the links for discussions and stuff. So great. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm all about anybody's tools, and it's, you know, if somebody finishes off that discussion by bringing more light into the world, that isn't necessarily what's going on. Because as an example, the world has had, because of all of the volunteers that are here from all over creation to help out in this rough period of time for Earth, which was, you know, it was planned to be rough. It was going to be rough. It was never not going to be that, because you're in fact pulling out the linchpins of all the controlling structures, and that happens to be the infrastructural reality of this level. And the fact is that this planet is owned by the dark side, and really always has been. But for that reason alone, we chose to set up this experiment here, because there's a big need to bring a bunch of galactic DNA together, and a lot of that DNA is on the light side, and a lot of it is on the dark side, and that's going to come together in this experiment. And but because of the popularity, for instance, the growing movement of energy of an awakening world, of there needing to be more light, and a huge emphasis on that light, as an example, the world, the off-world people have to create certain things to bring balance to it. And so, as an example, you might be, you know, amazed to hear that ISIS, the terrorist group, was invented in order to balance it out. It became a necessity. ISIS did, and that's true for everything. However, because the trajectory of the timeline that we are occupying is the one that is going to be on the service to others' trajectory, there will always be an increasing amount of awakening light coming into the system, but it can't do it out of balance, if that makes any sense. The service to self trajectory is also happening, but you know, as we continue to move deeper into, you know, what's eventually going to be the age of Aquarius and the coming discontinuity and the flow of time and all that kind of thing, you know, the uh, the division is happening as planned, and in fact everything is happening as planned and will continue to happen as planned from here on out. That's my only comment on that. And so should we go through a little bit of an exercise here, something that that I can share? Yep. That could be handy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me see if I can present it in some way that makes sense. Let's have anything that you want to repair in your body, even if it's just some nagging dull pain or whatever. Let's have you identify that first right now. So think through it. Maybe you have to prioritize it. I know that you know the volunteers, we put ourselves through absolute hell in being here because we process so much for everybody else. It just happens to be how, you know, the thing we signed up for. And so we tend to have more difficulties than 3Ders, we call them, have. And when I say 3Der, I'm referring to the people who are native to the experiment and that we are actually here to help. Okay. Now it's possible that somebody in on this call, I really can't see who's in on the call, doesn't even really know what I'm referring to. For instance, Barbara, I know that you're new enough. Have you had a chance to go in and read the Super Being story, that long document under About? I don't know if you're muted, Barbara. You're still with us?
Yeah. Got it turned down. Okay. Once I found out about it, I read and read and read until I couldn't read anymore. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
This
really is one of the more important things. In fact, I think that in terms of understanding, you know, any volunteer here, because most seekers don't understand that they're just volunteers and that their time here is actually pretty limited. And I don't know how much longer we're going to be helping out, but in the scheme of things, it's not that much longer, maybe another 100 years sort of thing. And in any event, understanding that we're here to help is very important, and that's just kind of all there is to it. The seekers, what we call volunteers, wanderers, process way more from the shared consciousness pool than those who are native to the experiment. In fact, that's one of the things that I think is sort of becoming a bit of a resentment deep inside the wanderer volunteer psyche is how the effort that we put forth to clean up this planet on psychic levels, while everybody else just continues to pollute it wantonly. You know what I mean? And so that's one of the things that's kind of hard on me is how much we do to help and how much they fight us, and the people that we're here to help, how much they fight us in helping them, kind of thing. But that's how it is. It's all good, and so long as we can find balance and health, and you know, what does it matter? But anyway, let's just find any place of pain or difficulty, anything that you want to handle in the body right this second. And now just close your eyes. And whatever it might be, let's say that, just for the heck of it, I'll just pluck something right out of the thin random air here. Let's say that you'd like to cleanse your gallbladder. What you do is you can visualize the gallbladder or a pain in the knee or whatever, You can identify it within the body. This is the trick. What you want to do is place it completely in the mind. In other words, let's say that you want to cleanse and rejuvenate your kidneys. Don't visualize them in the body. Visualize them in your mind, right in front of you, so that they're almost floating free of the body. And all you have to do is visualize them and keep your attention on them. You don't even have to use intent as an example, because intent is something that is being drawn from the limitations of your own human brain. But when you're visualizing, you're giving a point of reference to a meta being. And not only are you just basically feeding it energy, because everything does operate on light, period. Everything operates on light, meaning photons. And so let's just sit here quietly together while you visualize it. And what we're going to be doing, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a visualization, it just has to be attention. But if you can visualize that, that helps, because that visualization is a very powerful energy. So let's just go ahead and be here together, basically using this group to address any specific issue.
So if you can't visualize, do you just literally just place your focus in front of you and think of the pain or whatever?
Yeah, let's say that it's just a nagging knee pain. Instead of it being in your body, put a cross section. Put your attention in the general mind sphere. Does that make sense? In other words, if your attention is on your knee and your body, then you're not practicing this exercise. It's really hard to explain. Can you put your attention on that pain without it being referenced by its location in your body? whatever everybody's attention is on, the combined energy being created by this entire group is flowing to whatever you're holding your attention upon. In healing work, this is one of the truly esoteric tricks, because what you're in effect doing is separating a given entity like a kidney or a heart or a liver or a muscle or whatever you're doing, and removing it from the context of the body to give it some relief, and you're making it basically be an entirely a mental entity, and that's where the work is done. Does anybody have a share here, a comment on the technique or what you're feeling?
This is Virginia.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi. I found that, for the first few minutes, it was working pretty well. And then I had hard times staying focused. Like I would start, the focus would be split to something. Who knows? I mean, it just kept going to I don't know where. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be doing that.
Right.
Just to be here. So is there any tips just to keep you on that, you know, mind? It's just habit. Okay.
Yeah. It's, transcendental meditation works very, very similarly, right? All you do in transcendental meditation is create a mantra in your mind and then you listen to it. And it therefore becomes a self-referential feedback loop, right? And so if you did transcendental meditation every day, you're going to find it easier and easier and easier to keep your attention on the mantra. You know, you're creating that mantra, so, you know, you might as well listen to it. You're doing it in your mind, right?
Yeah, I think it's easier for me to do it when there's words, when it's something I'm visualizing. It feels like it pulls me into these other 3D. Anyway,
yeah. The trick.
I have a suggestion.
Go ahead.
You can practice visualization by just, you know, taking an object that, I don't know, it could be a crystal, it could be a writing pen, it doesn't matter, and hold it and just, you know, gaze at it and try to take in as much as you can about it, and then close your eyes and do your best to recreate what you just absorbed, and just try to hold it for a few seconds. I think it's just in the beginning, it's totally normal to not have a good grasp on the focus, because it's like a muscle that you haven't, you know, properly strengthened, and it does get easier. But I mean, as long as you're just continuing to kind of bring the focus back the best you can, then I think it's still, you're still getting the benefit.
And even changing the lexicon to attention, because focus almost mm-hmm. recommends concentration. And so,
right.
As an example, when you go to bed tonight, whatever it was that you had your attention on, do it in bed. And if your mind wanders, don't beat yourself up. Just get your mind back on to, you know, what you want your attention on. And make that the practice. Make that the habit. And then what you'll find is that when you take that attention, because there isn't anything that doesn't know what you want, right? You don't have to tell anything what you want. If your attention is on it, there's a reason for that attention, and therefore there's a built-in solution, correct? And so what you will do is you will take that on into more effective levels of mind. Do you see what I'm saying? If you lie down and your eyes are open, you're in beta, and then you close your eyes and start to sink into alpha. And if you keep your attention on a given thing, that's really a meditative state. For instance, if somebody's meditation is about nothing but nothingness, as an example, then what's one state of mind? Are you asleep when you're not thinking? Is that what it really is, right? And so if you drift on into alpha and theta and then delta with your attention on that thing, you'll get to very effective causal levels of mind for whatever it is you're trying to do.
So what I'm pretty good at when I'm for just like meditating, when you go into nothing. So I think the habit's coming in is that I'm attempting to use my mind, and my habit is to then really use it rather than use it where I want it to go. I'd have no trouble with just going to nothing.
Right.
Anyway.
Anyway, it's a good trip because that's if you know, again, we're always talking about definitions and semantics and what psychic surgery is. But if, for instance, we always use Jesus as an example simply because he's a really good example. But you know, when he wanted to heal somebody, he wasn't reaching his hands through their flesh and bringing out the offending organ. You know what I mean? He was just taking the organ and isolating it outside their body and working on it.
Right. Great. Thank you.
I was feeling some tingling, and it felt like what I was visualizing self-corrected from a one particular area and then broadened out into, it was kind of like something stepped in and said, you're actually focusing on the wrong, or you're putting your attention on the wrong area. And so we're going to just correct your initial attention. And I started to feel kind of tingling in different parts of my body that I think were related to the initial reason why I was focused on one area to begin with.
I see.
So it was kind of a cool, and it felt like the group was maybe involved in making that kind of adjustment. Very cool.
Oh, sure. Sure. That really is the power of these calls, because while we're yammering away, you know, there's our real selves are all doing important things. You know what I mean? But anybody else with anything else? I'm in the middle of precipitating some white powder gold for Mary, so I'm gonna go. Go get back at it.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.